So, what's the plan?
Right. We take Pete's car, we drive over to Mum's, we go in, take care of Philip.
I'm so sorry, Philip.
Then we grab Mum, we go over to Liz's place, pull up, have a cup of tea, and wait for all this to blow over.
Why have we got to go to Liz's?
Because we do.
She dumped you.
I have to know if she's all right.
Why?
Because I love her.
All right, gay. I'm not staying there, though.
Why not?
If we hole up, I want to be somewhere familiar, I want to know where the exits are, and I want to be allowed to smoke.
Okay. Take Pete's car, go round Mum's, go in, deal with Philip.
Sorry, Philip.
Grab Mum, go to Liz's, pick her up, bring her back here, have a cup of tea, and wait for all this to blow over.
Perfect.
No, wait, we can't bring her back here.
Why not?
Well, it's not exactly safe, is it?
Yeah. Look at the state of it.
Where's safe? Where's familiar?
Where can I smoke?
Take car, go to Mum's, kill Phil.
Sorry.
Grab Liz, go to the Winchester, have a nice cold pint, and wait for all this to blow over.
How's that for a slice of fried gold?
Yeah, boy!
Recorded live from Pennsylvania and Nebraska, US of A. It's the Bob and Elvis Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Elvis Dingledean.
These men are consummate snowball artists. They use sense and nerve gases to induce hallucinations. People think they're seeing ghosts. And they call these bozos who conveniently show up to deal with the problem with a fake electronic light show.
Everything was fine with our system until the power grid was shut off by Dickless here.
They caused an explosion. Is this true?
Yes, it's true. This man has no dick.
The following podcast contains harsh language, nudity, graphic violence, adult situations, and a healthy obsession with empirical reality.
Yep.
The Bob and Elvis Show.
Hello!
Hello!
Yeah, sort of a Halloween tribute. My two favorite sort of scary comedies of all time.
Yeah.
First, we had Shaun of the Dead there.
Yep. Okay. Second only to Hot Fuzz, which is, in my mind, the superior film.
Gotta disagree with you, buddy.
Love Hot Fuzz.
Nothing tops Shaun of the Dead, sorry.
Yeah.
See, I think our generation can be lined up along two different schools of thought. It's either Star Wars or Lord of the Rings, or Shaun of the Dead or Hot Fuzz. So I think you can kind of delineate personalities.
Wait,
of our...
There's some sort of Star Wars, Lord of the Rings dividing line? That's crap.
Wasn't that established in Clerks 2? Kevin Smith's...
Oh, Clerks. For God's sakes. Clerks 2. That was about the only funny part of that movie, was that whole exchange there.
Yeah, where he's talking about how, you know, all of Lord of the Rings is just walking, like they're just walking somewhere, and then he stops and looks at something and then just keeps walking.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can sort of shit on Lord of the Rings when you just ask why the big flying eagle guy couldn't have just taken the ring and shit-canned it into Mordor.
You know?
That would have saved him a lot of hassle.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, that's...
Wythier, whatever. Oh, God, my Lord of the Rings nerdiness. the best Star Wars critique came out of the first Clerks, when they're sitting there talking and what's his face says, you know, the first Death Star was completely finished, and you know, so it's just staffed with Imperial forces, that's fine, but the second one, you got to think they had contractors.
Yeah, right.
That was classic.
Yeah, I mean, and it turned out
a bunch of innocent contractors.
They're all Wookiees, right? They're all Wookiees, and they're all getting blown up, right?
Yeah.
In the second Death Star. Those poor bastards.
That was so lame-ass. It was the second Death Star, because the first one worked out so well.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking lame. They couldn't... I mean, it's one of those movies that he couldn't have imagined it was going to be anything, because it was so... I mean, 20th Century Fox was ready to shit-can it up to the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you blow up the Death Star, that's it. It should have just... As much as I love Empire, it should have just ended there. It was just a perfect one-off movie. You destroy the Death Star, done and done. And then Empire's great, but then in the Jedi, it's like, oh, another Death Star. Oh, that's terrifying. Because we kicked the other one's asshole in for it.
Yeah. Well,
and I mean, now let's make the trench in the second one big enough for the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, because right.
You know the trench was such a problem in the first one. We had to have this trench and this port, and the snub fighters were too small, so we had to fight them ship to ship.
Yeah.
So, on the second one, let's make it big enough to cram the entire Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, that's right. In. But though you know, it did lose its DirecTV dish on the roof there, didn't it? Get knocked off.
It did lose its satellite feed. So
right.
Lando and his Asian co-pilot there couldn't get the ESPN during the raid.
That's right. They couldn't
you
watch.
You gotta just wonder. I mean, if they had done any sort of reconnaissance, if they had any sort of Boffin blueprint that said, "Don't jump on that. You're gonna knock my coffee over. Do not jump on that."
Seriously,
dog. Yeah.
Dog is a dog is jumping to a place where the coffee is going to be knocked over.
I was watching the Barack Obama interview on Daily Show over on the other couch. I'm in my radio chair right now, which is this old rocker that I used to rock Peanut to sleep in. And so I got my coffee and my BlackBerry and all my real life over there on the couch. And the coffee's propped up on Peanut's Barbie car.
Oh, that's safe. That's a good idea. So,
well, it's fine if a 200-pound moose dog doesn't jump on it.
Okay, and so this is one of those full-size Barbie cars, right? This is like a full battery-powered car. This is not like a little toy car.
This is the toy.
Oh, God.
It's the Barbie Love Beetle thing.
Yeah. Oh, you're just asking for it.
I know.
You're just asking for it.
There's all sorts of Barbie accessories over in that corner. This room is, I'm in the basement because it's the most soundproof. And I have to bring Retard Dog because today's trash day. Thursday's always trash day, and the guys make quite a hullabaloo. Hey, a little Digby plug there. They make quite a hullabaloo out there, and Charlie will run and bark insanely. So she's down here with me, and this room has gone through many an iteration. It's a Peanuts playroom right now.
You know what I remember about Return of the Jedi is when I first, I think it came out, I was 12 years old when Return of the Jedi came out.
Me too. Yeah.
And I remember seeing a trailer for it, or maybe it was a picture in a magazine or something like that. I remember seeing the half-built Death Star, and what I thought it was the original Death Star half blown away. Like in Star Wars, it blew up at the end of Star Wars.
Yeah.
And by the way, that first movie will always be known as Star Wars. I refuse
to call
it. I
was just telling
New Hope.
Peanut that. I just told her that the other day. I asked her if she wanted to watch it when she woke up, and she said, "Which one?" And I said, "Star Wars." And then I had to explain to her. I said, "Well, they're all Star Wars, but I refuse to call it A New Hope."
Yeah.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, because when I saw it in the theater for the first time, the crawl did not say Episode 4.
Mm-hmm.
It did not say A New Hope, and it will always just be Star Wars. Anybody that says A New Hope should get a kick in the nuts.
Right.
Because that's stupid ass.
Yeah.
A New Hope. I'm going to go see A New Hope tonight. I watched A New Hope on DVD.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I thought that Death Star blew up, and then we were only to find out two movies later that it only half blew up. So I thought it was just the empty shell of the original one, and they're like, well, maybe we can recycle this bastard, and we're going to go back in there and.
But see, according to in the chronology, if you lay it all out on a timeline, you start building Death Star 1, it takes you roughly 18 years.
Yeah.
18 plus years, because the Emperor, even before he's the Emperor, before he gets, before Mace Windu makes him fry his own face, they've already started building it to some extent. It takes 18 years to build that first one, which you'd think that would be the one that really kicks ass, because that one took you 2 decades to build. But then we blew that, the Rebels blow that one up with no problem. Then the next one takes maybe 4 to get that far along. I don't, unless they were concurrent projects, but then why didn't the Rebels know about the second one? Bullshit.
Yeah.
George Lucas can suck my dick. I hate that guy. I absolutely hate that guy. And if he goes back and does the 3D stuff like he's talking about, I will go to Skywalker Ranch and take a dump on his head.
Well, see, I'm much more offended by Episode 2. Whatever the fuck was happening in that movie, I have no clue. And you know what? I love movies that are complicated, like Godfather 2. Well, you got to see Godfather 2 maybe 100 times before you exactly follow what's happening in that movie. But Episode 2, Star Wars Episode 2, Bride of the Midichlorian or whatever they call that movie.
Attack of the Clones.
It is so fucking contrived and upside down and back. You don't know what the hell. You know, he was just like improvising that whole movie.
Oh, who knows what the hell is going. This day, I don't know what the Clone Wars were about. I could not tell you who was the good guy. Apparently, yeah. It was the whole thing was mastermind. The whole thing, it was Palpatine fighting himself.
Yeah.
It was the Republic going to war with the Republic about the Republic.
Yeah. Yeah,
the whole thing. None of it made any sense. Like even in episode one, the Trade Federation, the Trade Federation has a floaty ship, dais at the Imperial at the Republic Senate. Right, yeah. Those Asian cocksucker trade guys have representation. So the Trade Federation has to be part of the Republic. Yeah. Naboo has to be part of the Republic, and yet mm-hmm. It has a queen. Why does a Republic have a queen?
Yeah.
If you're a Republic, you're a Republic. You don't have queens.
Right.
So, and then they send the Jedi, who are representatives, peace and justice of the universe, Republic. So basically episode one is you send the Republic to the Republic to negotiate with the Republic.
Yeah.
Makes no fucking sense whatsoever.
Right, right.
Absolutely written by a third grader.
And would someone please inform me? Now, I have seen episode two several times. I don't mind saying. I've seen it several times. Who the fuck is Sifo Dyas?
I know. No,
what the fuck is Sifo Dyas? Right in the middle of the movie. Oh, suddenly we're talking about Jedi Master Sifo Dyas. As if we're supposed to know. Cypher? Is it Cypher?
Sifo Dyas.
But when Obi-Wan goes to that water planet and starts talking to those, you know, those dildo heads or whatever they are. They walk around, they make the clones.
Necks.
Exactly. And somehow we get this other Jedi injected into the mix and they think that Obi-Wan is Sifo Dyas.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we thought it would be Master Sifo Dyas because we're such fucking ass clowns that you could order a clone army 10 years ago and we're just not going to follow up. We have no project management. We have no, we have no customer service where we're every now and then, maybe once every 3 years, you know, once a quarter, we're going to call into to fucking Coruscant and say, you know, hey, can I speak to Sifo Dyas? Got a question about this clone army. Does he want them all left-handed or right-handed? Where is the follow-up? Kamino is the worst excuse for a clone production facility I've ever heard. They just take an order, they grow a bunch of fucking psychotic clones based on a douchebag bounty hunter, because that's the template you want.
Yeah.
You know, that's the template. That's what you want. And then to have the original clone guy like living there, just hanging out with his son. Yeah, I'm a bounty hunter. I'm a real badass. I'm a catch as catch can kind of guy. Oh, this is my son. This is my son Boba. And I take him along and he's just a real prick too. Killed my wife, you know, threw her overboard. Made no fucking sense. I'm so sick of the fan services in these movies. Like Darth Vader built C-3PO because that's what his slave mother needs, a fucking protocol droid.
Yeah, right.
That's what his mom needs. He can't, C-3PO cannot bend his arms.
That's right.
He could not vacuum.
He can't walk upstairs.
He can't write. That's what a slave needs. His poor slave mother, who is enslaved by this Jewish, you know, Arabian flying bug. And he's like, oh, it's a protocol droid. I built it to help
How
mom
handy.
In case a group of people come by that don't speak whatever the fuck language I speak, Tatooine-ish.
Yeah.
Makes no sense whatsoever. I made mom a protocol droid. Why don't you build like a laser turret and fucking shoot Watto in his ball sack? Why don't you do that?
That's right. And by the way, here's a gun rack.
I don't even have a gun. Sign me up to be a slave on Tatooine. This kid can fucking build pod racers without Watto knowing it. Fully functional pod racer. And a protocol droid just in his spare time. Because we all know slaves, they got nothing to do. They got nothing but the free time.
Yeah, he was like, I would say at least a dozen rewrites away from having an actual shootable movie in at least two of those prequels. Yeah, maybe the third one was passable. But the first two, my God.
No. Anyway. None of it made any sense. And the fact that Padme, Queen Ubaduba, married Anakin after he comes back and tells her that he committed genocide. That's awesome.
Yeah.
She is fantastic.
Yeah.
If she's gonna, she, oh, well, that's just what makes us human. Fucking freaking out and slaughtering an entire camp of people for, you know, kidnapping your mom who you didn't give a shit about for 10 years, apparently. You couldn't have gone back at any time between the time they rescued your fucking ass mm-hmm. from Tatooine and the time you're wrestling with Obi-Wan and that nest of Gundarks gay. you couldn't have gone, you know, Obi-Wan, we got nothing to do today. We got no trade disputes to work out. We got whatever the hell it is we do as Jedi, because I don't, frankly, I don't know. Sit around with our thumbs up our asses at the Jedi Council Room. Why don't we go rescue my mom from being a slave?
Yeah.
And Obi-Wan's like, oh, fuck that, Anakin. We've got trade disputes to deal with. We got to go out to the Outer Rim and wrestle with gun darts.
Yep. Yeah.
Bullshit.
That's right. And you're right about that. I mean, there's Anakin like acting all emo and going batshit about he killed I killed women and children. And then Padme goes, "Oh, come over here. Let's give us a big kiss." Nom 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 nom. You know.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. And it, like two scenes later, they've got their tongues down each other's throats as they're being led into the arena.
Yeah.
Nothing says hot, like H-A-double-T, hot, than killing women and children.
Yeah, carving off sand people heads.
Oh, Jesus.
You are so auto-tuned right now, I can barely understand a word you're saying.
Really?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine.
This is the first time in all this time that I'm getting the auto-tuning treatment from you.
Yeah, no, you sound good, and of course I'm running directly into the computer, so I sound okay. Hey, it's the Bob and Elvis show. I'm Bob Seska here in Pennsylvania. It's Elvis Dingledane there in Nebraska. And today's show brought to you by, of course, Bubble Genius and Pomegranate Journeys. Now, in serious news, well, first of all, I got to say, all right, look, we're talking about Star Wars for the first, I don't know how many ever minutes of the show here, like 17, 20 minutes.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, you know why? Because there's nothing going on in politics. I mean, nothing serious. What the fuck is happening? It's like, we've got the two biggest stories of the past 7 days since the last time we did a show has been Juan Williams and this head-stomping wingnut guy at the Rand Paul debate. I mean, those are the two. Juan Williams is like the second biggest story of the last 7 days.
Yeah.
Good fucking Lord. But you know what? Yeah. I mean, the president was on The Daily Show last night, which was great. I thought the president
was... Yeah, it was all right. Didn't, you know... If that's going to happen, he's got to, I don't know, just use some of these opportunities to go apeshit, just to rally the, I don't know, it was okay. I mean, kudos to him. I'd rather him go on Fox and punch somebody in the ear hole.
Did you see part two, though? He did get kind of, it wasn't pleasant. I mean, he did get into Jon Stewart's face a little bit about healthcare.
Oh, I didn't know there was a part two online.
Jon Stewart really kind of just cowers away from this, which is fascinating to listen to. Here's the president responding to Jon Stewart on healthcare reform.
The distance between what you ran on and what you delivered is that you ran with such, if I may, audacity. You know, so much of what you said was great leaders lead in a time of opportunity. Right. We're the ones we're looking for. Yet legislatively, it has felt timid at times that I'm not even sure at times what you want out of a healthcare bill.
And this is, John, I love your show,
kind of you.
Yeah, you know what? I gotta jump in here, too. And the president's going to do just fine. He doesn't need my help. But I do have a serious issue with this idea that this legislation has been timid.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a $900 billion healthcare reform package.
I think he probably means if he had longer, you know, more time to break it down. He's talking about some of the early concessions that seemed like they weren't even on the table to begin with, like bargaining down points. You know, it took single payer and you know, public option, all these things just sort of off the table so quickly that there seemed to be a timidity in this in the strategy of it versus the final bill.
Well, I argue that it's less a timidity as on the part of the White House as it was a part on the part of like Kent Conrad and Max Baucus and some of these guys in the Senate who just never would have voted for it. I mean, they're just
know they're non-starters, but. You know, if you're going to play poker, you want to start with your big fat hand and then try, you know, just bargain down from the highest point.
Yeah.
But, you know, what are we going to do? Go back and fucking rehash the year that it took to get this done? I mean, it got done. The ultimate, a plan got passed. So, yeah.
Well, there's a political calculation in that. It's say they had gone in and they had wanted something much larger. Say, for example, single payer. Like the president announces single payer at the State of the Union. I'm going to change everything. We're going to do Great Britain, is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
But imagine the political shockwaves when a plan as huge, massive, and sweeping as single payer gets whittled down to what we ended up with.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what it would have
would have caused more. I mean, you wouldn't even have gotten half the people you needed to the table. You start out that grandiose. I mean, you come out and say that, you're just immediately labeled. I mean, it was bad enough, the whole socialism death panel. I mean, look at the things he had to fight. That's the one part of the calculus that seems never to get factored in the firebagger math is look at the things he had to combat, even as pragmatic and as middle of the road and as conservative ultimately as the plan became or ended up being. He had to fight the death panel meme and the socialism government takeover of healthcare meme and all these ridiculous things that were provably untrue.
Yeah.
Even towing the most pragmatic middle of the road thing. So you come out at the State of the Union or you have a press conference or an Oval Office thing and you say single payer British plan, you're done. You're done before you even get a foot in the water.
That's right. That's right. And we wouldn't even gotten you're right. I mean, we wouldn't even have gotten a healthcare reform bill like the one we did get.
Yeah. Right.
And you know, I can't imagine what the reaction would have been if we had tried for single payer and it had been whittled down to, you know, what we ended up with. I mean, that would have been politically devastating. Like, I mean, talk about a fall from the lofty heights. And even if we wouldn't even gotten there, because my argument is that exactly what you were saying. If he had proposed single payer, it never would have happened. It would have just been a non-starter, total non-starter. But I mean, here's the president too.
Yeah. But this is something where, I have a profound disagreement with you, and I don't want to lump you in with a lot of other pundits. But this notion, look, this notion that healthcare was timid. You've got 30 million people who are going to get health insurance as a consequence of this.
Right.
You've got a patient's bill of rights that make sure that insurance companies can't drop you when you get sick if you've been paying premiums, that make sure there aren't lifetime limits, make sure that kids who are don't have health insurance can stay on their parents' health insurance till they're 26, and cuts the deficit by over $1 trillion. This is what I think most people would say is as significant a piece of legislation as we've seen in this country's history. And the notion that, what happens is it gets discounted because the presumption is, well, we didn't get 100% of what we wanted. We got 90% of what we wanted. So let's focus on the 10% we didn't get as opposed to the 90% that we did. And right now there is a woman in New Hampshire who doesn't have to sell her house to get her cancer treatments because of that health care bill. And she doesn't think it's inconsequential. She doesn't think it's timid.
The suggestion was not that it's inconsequential or that it doesn't
help. The suggestion was that it was timid.
Timid.
Yeah. I'll
tell you what I mean. And you're...
So you get the idea. But I mean, he's exactly right. And I think there's just this general... And, you know, to a certain extent, I mean, we exist online and there's a different dynamic happening in the blogs than I think is really happening in the quote unquote real world. And I think we kind of, you know, I think the blogs are fueled by outrage, and we're always looking for something to be outraged about. And I think that actually is, people are always trying to find something to say, and to say it profoundly and loudly so it gets paid attention to. And I think that is kind of fueling, in a certain way, at least the online dissatisfaction with the healthcare reform bill. Mm-hmm. Just a need to say, and that's what's fueling the firebaggers, and there's just this drive for, with some blogs, there's this drive for traffic, where there was a drop-off in traffic after the election, and how do we find, where is our niche now? What do we have to do to keep that going? Well, we're gonna bitch about the fact that the healthcare reform bill didn't have a public option, or it didn't have everything exactly the way
we wanted. Bitch about DADT, or, yeah. You know, yeah. Any number of things.
Right. Right. So, yeah. There you go.
But you don't call the president dude.
Yeah, you don't. And that was the part that I think pissed me off more than anything else.
I was stunned. Yeah. I was stunned by it. I had to run my TiVo back and go, whoa, did he just say that?
Yeah. I mean, the president, no president, has sitting president, has ever appeared on a comedy show like that.
Right.
And so to go on is kind of a roll of the dice politically. Does it make the president looks small to be appearing on this show? And mm-hmm. then the host of the show refers to the president as dude. And I love Jon Stewart, don't get me wrong. But that was a big gaffe, I thought, on Jon Stewart's part.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta, yeah. And that's the that's the political risk you take, is being diminished in some way. And, you know, that didn't help. So
yeah.
I think Stewart better, I don't know if has he come out and said anything about it, or is it a thing now? I mean, I'm just now hearing, I just now watched it this morning. So is it a thing throughout the blogosphere?
I don't think anyone, well, I don't know that anyone's as Stalinistic about it as you and I are.
Yeah,
I mean, we're all fueled up on, you know, Seven Seasons of the West Wing, in which that was always a big thing, is you don't refer to President Bartlet as Bartlet.
Yeah, or anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always the president, you know. Which I think is just, it's basic respect. If you, I mean, you don't go talk to your doctor and call him by his first name, or maybe you do. I wouldn't. Yeah. He's a doctor. He earned that title. So. Yeah.
You know. Plus, he's got half his arm up your ass. So. Yeah. There's a certain respect. There's a certain respect to be had there. Right. You know, you want to make sure you're calling him doctor. You're calling him by his first name while he's got his arm up your ass. It's you know, maybe there's something wrong, or something so very right.
Mm. God, you know what? I'm having another tech. My sound effects are not working. Just to give you guys an impression listening in, we had to stop the show because of the internet again.
Yeah.
I mean, I lost my entire internet connection right smack in the middle of talking about The Daily Show.
It's ridiculous in 2010, almost 11, that we have these problems. I mean, internet should just be like water. You turn it on, it always works. It's always there. You know, it should just be a public utility that comes right to the house in a spigot, and it's just always there. It's stunning if you look at the statistics about how ass backwards America is in terms of a broadband. You would think, I mean, I worked for my first job in this business was for the very first commercial ISP ever. Unionet was the very first commercial, you know, for enterprise, for business, the first ISP ever. We had the biggest IPO, tech IPO, NASDAQ IPO of all time at the time. Our sales guys literally owned islands. And that was, you know, 15 years ago. And where are we? We're still, I mean, we're miles and miles behind Japan and you know, much everybody in broadband distribution. It's pathetic. It's one of the great the internet is one of the great democratizing forces of all time. One of the great people empowering things. Mm-hmm. And it should be in every rural, I mean, every trailer park should have 10 megs to the fucking double wide, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
I don't understand why the stimulus package didn't have a bigger, better, because that would put a shit ton of people to work.
Yeah.
Building infrastructure, broadband infrastructure, laying fiber, putting in fucking satellite dishes, whatever you got to do, but get it out to the people. Even if 99% of them surf porn or, you know, shop on QVC.com, whatever they're going to do, it's a democratizing force.
Yeah. These sons of bitches. I mean, you know what? It's everything. It's everything that has to do with computers. It's like a daily wrestling match. And it's, and I'm pretty savvy when it comes to this shit. I mean, I've been doing this stuff. I mean, I've been working on desktop computers since the 80s, literally. Yeah. I mean, I was working on Apple Macintoshes back in 89. That was, I think, my first serious computer that I was working on. Semi-professionally. And then, and I've worked on Macs. I've worked on PCs. I mean, there was a period of time back in the 90s when Apples were just, fucking Macs were terrible and they were buggy and they would crash all the time. Switch over to PCs, and now it's viruses, it's internet problems, it's programs seizing up. I can't get Google fucking Chrome to operate properly sometimes. Where I'm like, I'll be on Facebook and suddenly that aw snap bullshit window will appear. What? Yeah. Why? It's Google, for God's sake.
I know. There needs to be an entirely. I mean, it's ridiculous that every 12 seconds you have to configure this fucking this worm that just goes around that pops up that window. Hey, yeah. you need virus control. I want whoever did that, whoever built that, whoever inflicted that upon us should just die with AIDS in his asshole. I mean, just unbelievable that somebody would just do that for fun. Like, right. Oh, I'm just going to make this worm and I'm just going to, yeah. Why would you do that?
Yeah, that's, you know what? It's that virus. That's the virus that last winter screwed every single one of my fucking computers. I mean, literally to the point where I had to wipe them clean and reinstall Windows to get it off of there because it would take over your desktop wallpaper. You couldn't click on things.
There's nothing. You can't run anything.
You can't open your task manager.
Well, you can if you're quick about it. I finally figured out how to beat that fucker. If you reboot and before the process itself loads, I mean, a second Windows comes up, not in safe mode, but just regular, you do your Control-Alt-Delete and get to Task Manager. If you get to Task Manager before it loads, then you can run through and kill processes until you find it and then work your way through and delete that shit. But it's so clever. It's one of the most clever worms that most virus programs, most virus software programs won't catch it. Yeah. I mean, even with the most updated list of virus updates, because catch it.
From what I read, it's because the file size is so tiny that it just operates so deeply in the background and so quietly.
And the name changes with every iteration. Yeah. I mean, every time it goes out there, it just changes the file name. That's basically how these virus programs work. They just have a pre-populated list of DLLs and names and shit to look for. Right. And that one's just like, I'm just going to change it, and you'll never know. Ha ha.
So,
bastards.
Yeah, I know. And then
welcome to Nerd Talk, everybody. It's Bob and Elvis on Super Star Wars Nerd Talk Day.
And you know, I can't get my little jingles and sound effects to play. I mean, what the hell is going on? It's like
it's the end of the world.
Yeah, I mean, I played that Ghostbusters clip. Maybe there's like maybe there's evil forces, you know.
Can we run sponsor spots? Because we're way behind.
I mean, we're like way late at this point. I mean, there we go. Hey, look at that. Yeah. Hey, it's a Bubble Genius music. Thank God. Thank fucking God.
I thought I was going to have to sing it a cappella.
Yeah. It's like a Waka Jo Waka going on in there. Waka Jo Waka. Waka Jo Waka Jo Waka.
Yeah, one step removed from that great 70s porn music.
Hey, it's Pure Products, Pure Genius, Bubble Genius at www.bubblegenius.com.
Full stop.
Hilarious, all-natural, eco-friendly products for bath, body, and mental well-being. The coolest soap and body care stuff you have ever, ever, ever seen. I believe their website. You want to talk? Oh, here's another. This is a perfect segue because their website is down again.
Oh, holy fuck.
At least as of, 2 days ago when they sent me their latest commercial, which we'll get to in a second. But their website is down. So I believe you can try to go to www.bubblegenius.com, click on the link on our website. Or you can go to bubblegenius.etsy.com. That's E-T-S-Y, Etsy, bubblegenius.etsy.com. By the way, next it's Tuesday, is election day. Free soap. I'll get to that later on in the show. But It was a brand new Sarah Palin commercial from Bubble Genius, which is which was extraordinarily popular last time there was a Sarah Palin commercial. Probably the funniest thing on the show that week. So here's the latest from Bubble Genius and the former half-term governor of Alaska.
Fellow Americans, thank you so much for your support. I know since I called those Bubble Genius radicals out about their voodoo dolls, many of you have been doing your best to stick me with pins. But all those pinholes are messing up my fancy suit, so thanks, but no thanks. Now I hear those elitist soap makers are at it again, making cartoon soaps of some of my good friends, like Michelle Bachman, that tan guy, a boner, and a snapping turtle.
Sarah, a turtle? Oh, it's McConnell.
Mitch, what?
McConnell.
And Mitch McDonald, Senate Authority Leader. Those soaps are a violation of the original Constitution, which doesn't mention soap in it anywhere. Did John the Baptist need soap? No!
Seriously, who do we have to sleep with around here to get you to vote?
Vote for Palin Bachman in 2011!
Oh, Sarah, it's 2012.
Partisuds Congressional Head Soap, available in Republican or Democrat. Buy both sets, get Joe Lieberman free.
Mama Grizzlies, Socialists, 9/11. Thank you, fellow Americans.
www.bubblegenius.com.
And the word salad in there at the end. Perfect.
Yeah.
Again, that's www.bubblegenius.com or bubblegenius.etsy.com. Fuck the internet. And you know what? It's you know how great it is to have sponsors in which right in the middle of a commercial break you can say fuck the internet.
Yeah. I was just thinking about that today, how generous our sponsors are.
I mean, they actually egg us on with this shit. Just
they
so
do,
you know.
They really do. Shame on those girls.
Pomegranate Journeys, the cure for the common vacation at www.pomegranate.travel. Pomegranate, of course, combines several of my favorite things in the entire world: food, wine, cycling, and France and Italy. That'd be several, right?
Yeah.
Go visit Pomegranate's updated website at pomegranate.travel to see the new trips and a new hiking and photography trip in Italy's famous Cinque Terre. And we have a new commercial from Pomegranate as well. And this one is actually, I mean, we're really getting like Russian doll-ish here, where, you know, our sponsors are advertising each other. And then, so last week we suggested that maybe they do an advertisement for the show inside their advertisement on our show. And so that's exactly what Pomegranate Journeys did. Here it is.
And now we join the Virgilio Show, already in progress.
These are...
And that, my friends, is why when my wife is away, I like it to put the fat pork in the lamb. Okay, Teresa Pomegranate, the podcast brought to you by the Bob and the Elvis Show. And what does this mean? That they want to shove themselves into your pants?
Oh, Virgilio, back to the commercial.
The Bob and Elvis Show, it's on the radio, or something like that.
The Bob and the Elvis Show, hey, if you can only listen to 201, the podcast, well, you're listening to the Virgilio Show, but... you got a little extra time, you check out the Bob and Elvis Show. That the sound means it's a time for the pomegranate news. Our most recent trip was in the Piedmont region of Italy. It was fantastic. The weather and the breathtaking scenery were perfect for cycling. And our guests, they told me the food was the best they've ever had. Like I was saying before, the delicate blending of the pork and the lamb is the secret to my meatballs. Just don't tell my wife.
Shove Bob and Elvis into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go.
Yeah.
Subscribe to the Bob and Elvis Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
This is the clearly the most fucked up show we've ever done.
Yeah.
I really believe it is.
What time is it? Still Thursday?
Are we still on? I mean, hello? But suddenly my microphone's going to stop working. It's the Halloween show is what it is. I mean, that's...
It is. It's haunted.
Yeah. Good God.
I'm watching Jaws right now, by the way, and just loving it. I love Jaws.
I'm glad you're paying attention, though, at least.
Yeah, what? Are you talking? Such a great movie, though.
Oh, yes, it is.
Back when Spielberg was a real artist, artiste.
Once again, that's www.pomegranate.travel.
Yes, yes. www.
Yeah. And please,
I got to stretch.
For God's sake, support your progressive businesses, your progressive independent businesses.
Do it, you fuckers.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Mouth.
This week it's been, you know, wingnuts beating up women. Did you hear Limbaugh justifying it with his favorite analogy, which is to bring anal rape into it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Here's Rush Limbaugh talking, basically excusing the entire incident outside the Rand Paul debate in Kentucky.
To move on and try to move through the crowd and give something to President Obama. What would the Secret Service have done? Television footage shows Valley's blonde wig being pulled off before she's pinned to the ground. The man puts his foot down on her head. Now, in the video that AP itself posted, the man put his foot down on her shoulders. In what looked to me like an effort to help restrain her. And then the guy was immediately shooed away. Now, nobody's condoning the manhandling of even a radical, liberal woman.
Except him.
But
he's about to do it. Right?
Or the rough handling or whatever. But why exaggerate what happened unless you're trying to score a propaganda point? If that's all you've got, your candidate's down, 7 points or 3 points or whatever it is in this race. Your candidate is down. You've got moveon.org and a typical move here. And by the way, do you want to know who this woman is? This is not the first time Lauren Valley has shown up. April 2nd of 2008, organized by Rainforest Action Network, the demonstration against...
And now, here he is justifying because she's a radical.
Yeah.
You know, she
didn't... Listen to Rush. She's been other places. She's done other things.
Yeah. And so therefore...
That's a head just looking to get stomped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's just asking for it. She's just asking for it. The victim was asking for it. Right. Yeah. Yeah. No wonder he's been married, 9 times?
You know, I blame John McCain for all this. I really do. I mean, John McCain has inflicted this whole atmosphere. I mean, with Sarah Palin, John McCain was the straight talk express guy, right? You could always get on his bus and sit with that little dwarf and talk about things, and he would give you the straight talk express, right? As soon as Sarah Palin signed on, as soon as he was so feckless and cowardly and stupid to do that, the bus was closed for business, no more questions, and that was the beginning of this compartmentalization of candidates, this absolute war against the press. And that's what, I mean, this is symptomatic of that. It's anybody that could possibly ask my candidate an embarrassing question or could possibly shed some light on the epistemological closure, the epistemic closure of our party, of our philosophy, of our ideology, they have to get curb stomped.
Yeah.
Because I blame it all on that fucking coward John McCain,
right,
who owes the country and the Constitution a great big apology for unleashing this on us.
Right.
Because, you know, Sullivan calls it the Palin model, and it absolutely is, with O'Donnell threatening to sue. Did you see this? Threatening to sue a radio station for airing a video that she didn't want filmed her running her fucking stupid mouth. And now she's got her campaign guys calling the radio station apologizing for flying off the handle, for, you know, threatening to crush them legally if they play this video.
Yeah.
It's the Palin model. Do not question me. Only ask, you know, I will only answer pre-vetted questions.
That's
and
right.
If anybody comes within my radius, you get curb stomped.
And the press is enabling it. I mean, this is being allowed.
Absolutely.
They're letting it go without challenging any of it. Oh, well, I guess that's just the way it is. They don't want to talk. The only one taking it on is Rachel Maddow.
Yeah.
And by the way, can I repeat this again? Fuck the internet. You are auto-tuning again.
Oh, God.
And you know what? Today's show is officially haunted.
Yeah. I've got 5 bars on my side, so.
Yeah, I've got 4 bars on my side. There's clearly nothing wrong except Skype now is dicking with us.
You sound fine.
I need to get like a paper bag and start breathing into it. I'm
just sitting here and watch Jaws.
They're here.
Yes, they are.
Mm. Good Lord.
I love that movie. When that guy fucking pulls his face off in the mirror.
Yeah.
That's a scary movie.
Yeah, it really is.
That's a really scary movie. Back when scary movies were scary.
Yeah.
And it was all in camera, you know? That's what I love about it. Nothing CGI scares me.
Right.
Because it's just not real.
Yeah.
That guy, somehow, I don't know if it was Rick Baker or whoever it was back then, but that special effect when that guy looks in the mirror and pulls his fucking face off, that traumatized me.
Yeah. I mean,
that scared the shit out of me.
Right. And I think none of us, after seeing that movie, like look at, because that was at the time, that movie came out at a time before like cable was really prominent. I mean, we still had broadcast television. We didn't have cable.
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, so you would routinely go to a UHF channel and it would be that. It would be that static. It would be that snow on the TV. And you go, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck? I mean, they're
this a couple of generations later, don't have any idea what static is.
Or UHF for that.
Never seen. Yeah, UHF. What the hell is that?
TVs had dials?
TV, yeah, what? They only had 4 channels?
We're old. We're old men.
Yes, we are, man.
Old men. So later, Limbaugh goes on to suggest that the teabaggers are justified in getting pissed off and beating up women because they refuse to quote unquote grab the ankles and quote unquote play nice. So that's basically what Limbaugh is doing is saying, it's okay because you guys are pissed off. It's understandable. Yeah. Okay, go right on ahead because you refuse to.
High.
Yeah. Yeah, because you don't want to be anally raped.
Yeah. By one woman with a sign from MoveOn.org, because MoveOn.org has such a reputation for violence, for physical violence.
That's right.
The best they could do before this was General Betray Us. Ooh, ouch.
Yeah, right.
Run, it's those violent bastards from MoveOn.org.
Well, here's an interesting wrinkle in the whole Sarah Palin saga. Going back to what you were saying about Sarah, it just totally upturning political discourse and how it's covered. Karl Rove is not a Sarah Palin fan.
Nobody in the Republican establishment could possibly be. And they look at her numbers. They know she's less popular than Anthrax.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, do you hear Elvis's voice? I mean, we are literally being haunted by. And now, and you know what? My sound effects stopped working again. What the? Oh, see there. Oh, there we go.
Jesus.
See, that's the form of new music.
Some other technology.
Something is going on here. Oh, see, there's. Okay. See, I didn't want that music. I wanted. Maybe it was this music. Okay. Yeah. See, we're. There's something going on. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the haunted show. Anyway. So, Carl, let's try this. Karl Rove says, right, about Sarah Palin. It's something that you and I would say on this show in just a more saucy way. We would find saucier language. Rove says, with all due candor, appearing on your own reality show on the Discovery Channel, I'm not certain how that fits in the American calculus of that helps me see you in the Oval Office.
Wow. Good long term, Blossom.
So the giant baby, Karl Rove, says that.
Well, I'll tell you, the hardest working man in show business right now, or woman, is the editor of Sarah Palin's Alaska. That person works with the biggest sort of Damocles hanging over his or her head. I'll tell you what, the editor on Sarah Palin's Alaska has got to be just the busiest son of a bitch on earth. Cutting the shit that would just get her, would just ruin her.
Yes.
Oh, can't show that. Oh, can't show that. Oh man, I got like 8 minutes of program this week.
Oh shit, Sarah Palin's choked on her tongue again.
Yeah. Oh.
Choked on her own tongue.
That's a reality show.
Well, that's a whole separate show. That's like, that's the show I want to see. I want to see behind the scenes of Sarah Palin's Alaska. Yeah. And just
fuck Iraq. WikiLeaks needs to get them somebody on the inside of Sarah Palin's Alaska. Get the 20, 30 hours of footage that don't make it on the DLC or whatever the fuck channel.
Oh God.
That's the good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't adjust your computers. This is the most fucked up show we've done. Easily. I mean, I thought last week was kind of a pain in the ass to get going because we had technical problems. This week is worse because everything you just said was auto-tuned. I was auto-tuning before. Ugh. We had to stop the show. I had to reset my router is what I had to do earlier.
But I mean, got full bars over here, and I'm loving it. I can hear every word you're saying.
So we're just like shifting back and forth between actual content and just bitching about the haunted show. But yeah, I mean, that's just the thing. I mean, can you imagine Sarah Palin's notes? I mean, just feeling like she's got the authority to give notes on the edits and the content of the show.
Oh, you got to think that she's standing right behind the guy.
Oh my God. Yeah, she's standing right behind there. And
yeah.
Like, asking for things that are completely outside the realms of physics. Like I once did, because I've occasionally done some album cover design. This is like the weirdest note I've ever received on an album. Yeah, you know what? Screw it. I just say what it was and who it was. I was doing the album cover for, and it turned out to be a terrible, terrible album cover design, for Yes's Magnification album. So you go in the record store and you see Magnification by Yes. It's, first of all, it's an okay record. But the cover is terrible, and I almost didn't want to put my name on it because it got so micromanaged down to nothing that there isn't really any design on it. But one of the notes that John Anderson, the singer of Yes, comes back with is, okay, here's what I want you to do. And you got to imagine John Anderson's like Hobbit voice. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to make the Magnification lettering as wide as the album cover. Okay. Oh, that makes sense. All right. Just make it really, really wide and just stretch it to the edges of the cover. And then he goes, and then I want you to make it 2/3 wider. What?
Is this the one with the funky looking thing on the planet on like Mars surface?
Yeah. Well, it's like, background? Yeah, yeah. It's like a space. It turned it out because there was a whole scene that was in that. And he actually started eliminating scenery out of the design until it was just nothing but the sky.
Yeah.
So it was just like, I didn't even need to be there. He could have photoshopped a star field and put the logo on top of it. Yeah. But nevertheless, so what happened was is he wanted the logo, the Magnification lettering, to be beyond the realm of the actual paper. Okay, so the logo had to extend off into some other dimension off the sides of the paper. So can you imagine like Sarah Palin offering notes about,
yeah,
you know, the edit of the show? Yeah. Just like maybe demanding something that they didn't even shoot or just completely just putting the thing through a Cuisinart.
Yeah.
It's just like having things, sequences taken out where her hair just looks odd.
Yeah. Right. Can you Photoshop an eagle sitting on my shoulder? Can you have a CGI eagle swooping in and sitting on my shoulder?
Right.
And then saying, Sarah Palin for president.
Yeah.
I would not want to work on that show. In any capacity.
Right. And you know what?
The shark just bit that guy's leg off, by the way. The leg just fell right to the bottom of the... That's an awesome shot.
This is, you know what? I wish I could just go up and grab just a bottle of something alcoholic. Because we just, at this point, we just might as well go another hour and just drink. I mean, it'd probably be better than the first hour of the show.
You sound fine to me.
Yeah. Well, now your sound is back up. Knock on wood. Oh my God. So now that I'm like really pissed off about things, you know what really pissed me off this week is Howard Fineman.
And this, I mean,
this could, I mean,
Post thing.
Yeah, and even if mentioning this could actually jeopardize my placement at that site, but.
Because he's reading your other blog and he's listening to this right now.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, everyone's... God, you should know by now that there are fucking tattletales out there. People who just... you know what Bob was talking about? Howard, Bob was talking about you on the podcast. Yeah. And so he's like, Bob? What? Who's Bob?
Who?
Yeah. Oh, he writes. He writes... And then, you know... I mean, I can't tell you the number of times that's happened to me. I mean, I've all the stories. But so Howard Fineman... engages in this both sides nonsense, right? And actually makes it seem as if the, you know, that guy, Tim Prophet, stepping on that woman at the Rand Paul debate is the same as Joy Behar calling Sharon Angle a bitch.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you're right. I think he did add it for, you know, for some kind of equivalency and some kind of balance. But if the tables were turned on the Joy Behar thing, and it was a Bush supporter, you know, if it was during the Bush years and it was some right wing talking head said the same thing about, let's say, Nancy Pelosi, we would all be up in arms calling it hate speech and fucking intellectual, terrorism. And we would just be stomping around. So she should shut her fucking stupid mouth. It's not helping. Any sort of, you know, she said she should go to hell. She should die and go to hell.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not helping. It's certainly not the equivalent of frog stomping a poor girl on a curb, but it certainly didn't help anything. It's certainly not what we need right now is her big fucking mouth.
Yeah, yeah. Well, again,
and if the View is going to get the kind of if they're going to participate, if they're going to get O'Reilly and they got, you know, they're getting these people on. Obama went on The View, didn't he?
Yeah.
All right, well, if they're going to participate like that, maybe they should shut their fucking stupid mouths about people dying and going to hell.
But who cares? Who cares what Joy Behar says?
No,
I don't care what Joy Behar says. Am I even pronouncing her last name correctly? That's how far off my radar she is.
Yeah. No, I don't sit around and watch The View. I've got a fucking life and a job.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that if the tables were turned and it was in another era and it was a Republican, if it had been Ann Coulter, let's say, saying exactly the same words about Pelosi, that would have been the liberal blogosphere news cycle for a month, talking about how fucking awful Coulter is with her filthy mouth and its intellectual violence, and we'd be screaming for whatever venue she said it that she should be canceled.
Yeah.
That we would absolutely be doing that as liberals. So Joy Behar should fuck herself and she should die and go to hell.
Yeah.
There, that's how I solved it. Sticks and stones.
That's fine. Okay.
That's how I solved it.
That's good.
I'm just tired of the things that we as liberals will defend and not defend when it's on our side, you know. With, oh, she's just, I don't care what she says. But if Ann Coulter, you know, fucking Skeletor says it, then we're, she should be fired. Aye.
Yeah, you're right.
So, I had to disagree with you there, boss.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm in no position to argue right now because I just want to strangle the internet. I want to grab the internet by the throat and just squeeze.
Yes. Go to your little box and hook the cable and yell at the coaxial.
Yeah. Because, I mean, your entire Joy Behar speech right there was entirely auto-tuned.
Well, it was good. Go back and listen to it later on the read.
Just imagine that this show was actually technically together.
I don't understand how you hear it auto-tuned, but then in the playback... everything's fine. I don't get that. It seems like it should record the way you hear it.
It does. It does.
So in the playback, I'm going to be all auto-tuned and all that?
Yeah.
Well, fuck that. See, I never listened to the show, so I don't know.
Yeah, I know. My voice always sounds like it does right now because I'm recording directly into the computer.
Yeah.
You, however,
if I'm
are
auto-tuning. It's going to be completely inaudible.
Well, I mean, you can hear it. I just want to underscore that it's not the listener's computer. It's not the listener's internet connection or their iPod or anything like that. It's going all haywire and blowing a gasket. It's actually our stupid fucking show.
We gotta figure out a better technology.
I know. I mean, what do you gotta do to get that to work? I mean, it's kind of a miracle that it works anyway with Skype.
Well, yeah.
But. There's got to be something more.
Is it noon yet? I'm hungry. Is it lunchtime?
It's 10, you know what? It's getting there. It's like another 2-hour show, like to just record 1 hour.
Yeah.
Pure products, pure genius, bubble genius. Please God, let me get through this commercial without my computer exploding. Hilarious, all natural, eco-friendly products for bath, body, and mental well-being. And so if you vote on Tuesday, get your I voted sticker on election day. Take a picture of yourself. And if your internet is actually functioning, send it to Bubble Genius. You get a free soap. You get a promo code for a one free soap. That's one per person. So don't try to scam. Don't vote additional times just to get free soap. No voter fraud for free soap.
Voter fraud is so terrifying. I'm so worried about voter fraud.
Yeah. I mean, I think what you got to do is you got to go and, I mean, if you haven't looked at Bubble Genius' website, what the hell are you waiting for? I mean, it's really, it's smart, it's funny, it's handcrafted. Bubble Genius strives to be good to your skin while also being good to the planet. They source their ingredients as close to home as possible, thereby supporting other local and domestic businesses while cutting down on fossil fuel consumption by not having stuff shipped from across the globe. They do their best to use organic ingredients when they're accessible and affordable, and their soaps are free of chemical detergents and surfactants. You can go shop Bubble Genius at bubblegenius.etsy.com. Right?
Yes.
Pure products, pure genius, Bubble Genius.
The Bob and Elvis Show.
Barely.
Sort of.
Barely this week. I mean, we're due for it. I mean, how many shows have we done that have been sort of, they've come off without much of a hitch, technically?
All of them, pretty much, except the last couple.
And this one, you know, I mean, I swear to God, my Comcast bills are paid on time. There's no reason why they should be. But you know what? It's not just Comcast. It's like, it's Windows. It's Microsoft, it's Comcast, it's then suddenly this my software for the sound effects it's not working either. I think there's like a poltergeist. I think there's a creepy, you know, sort of, I think it's Slimer from Ghostbusters just in there eating hot dogs.
Now, the Farm of Doom is quite haunted.
Is it really?
Right in the path between two worlds. The original structure, not the part I'm in right now, but the house part is 100 years old this year. It's mm-hmm. built in 1910. But then the addition, which includes this part of the basement and the guest room and the family room and all that was all fairly new. And in the space between, there's a hallway that had to be added to connect the two. Totally ass haunted. I've heard Indian chants, like that, literally at just audible, not like, ooh, what is that? Like, just heard it. I've seen children moving back and forth, and so have guests. So have guests that have no inkling whatsoever.
Yeah.
And Peanut, when she was like 2.5, saw many a spectral thing and would point and called one of them Guy, had a name for one of them.
Really?
So extremely haunted, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And I mean, I'm a pretty pragmatic guy. I mean, I don't believe in hardly any. I'm very, very skeptical. I'm a huge skeptic. But I think that displaced energy might have, I think there are, you know, receptacles in the air. I just think there are chambers in the fabric of shit that can fill up with bad energy. I don't know. I'm not a new age. I'm not a bell ringer. I'm not any of that shit, but I've seen some stuff.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I spent a lot of time in Gettysburg, and there's this whole cottage industry that's developed down there, and it's actually overtaken the actual history. Yeah, I mean, but they've turned it into an amusement park for ghost, you know, ghost tours. Yeah. So, I mean, people go down there and they go to the ghost tours and give a shit about the actual history or why all of that is there. It's all about these, and the ghost tours are terrible. They're all I actually went on one of these ghost tours just to see what it was like, and the tour guy is some high school, you know, girl, they just, you know, kind of train them to do these. Yeah, they're not even like real ghost stories. They're like bullshit yarns. And you know, she was like trying to relate. She was trying hard, but it was just like every ghost story, she was somehow able to relate it back to her dad farting.
What? Like,
it was, I swear to God, it was like, you know, it scared me so bad because, and it was like the time my dad farted. I mean, it was literally like every story she told, like she was able to relate it somehow to her farting, smelly dad.
Oh, I would have not only asked for my money back, but I would have gone to one of the little glass cases and taken one of those muskets and shot her in the duodenum. We're done.
We are done.
It's not noon yet.
I know. I mean, we should. Feels like we ought to be going another 2 hours, just stopping and starting. I figure now we better just get the hell out before, you know, my head starts spinning around.
Yeah,
Unbelievable.
I have so many other ghost stories, though.
We'll have to tell some more ghost stories next week, though.
All right.
I mean, literally, the second part of the show, I mean, we stopped the show at about, I don't know, about 17, 18 minutes in. The second half of the show has been 47 minutes. I guess now...
Professionals, look it up.
That's what we do with pros. We don't cop out and tell you that we're ill, or that we're looking for the farmhouse in the middle of the desert. So what do you do now?
Look it up.
You're a little perturbed. A little worried about the club.
A little worried about the club.
The club? Nah, don't worry about it. Jackie might worry. Nah, don't worry. Just cool it. Life...
Everything. Life...
is a breeze. Of course, some breezes, as you know... 110 miles an hour, get promoted up to hurricane status. I just thought I'd pass out. And now I'm doing like Larry King. So I guess now's a good time to apologize to our sponsors and our loyal listeners for the most hauntedest show that we have ever done. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. You fudge with us, you fudge with the best, although not so much this week. Drive safely, everybody. We'll see you next Thursday, I hope.
We'll see.
Bye.
9/11, everybody.